Wonderful. Father, we just thank you for this morning that we can gather together like this in such freedom. And I thank you, Lord, that even as I share your word, that your word does not return void, but that it does accomplish all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. And in all of this, that the name of Jesus is exalted in our midst. So we say thank you for that, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. 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 Folks, are we ready to receive this morning? I'm not going to keep us for too long. All right? You should be asking the question, what is too long? Flexible. Flexible. But last Sunday, I actually shared from 1 John. And what John had to say about the truth and the counterfeit Christian, right? And also these churches that were popping up where they were being led by people that really were not concerned about the people, right? As the apostles moved on, it was as if some of these false teachers would kind of manifest, just pop up. They were popping up all over the place. And that had to be addressed, the false teachers. So it was the difference between the truth and the false, the truth and what was counterfeit. And I said last week that as believers in Jesus, we need to be able to identify very, very clearly and quickly what is counterfeit. That's really our responsibility. So John had a lot to say about this. And in fact, John has a lot to say about various aspects in terms of our Christian walk in this letter in 1 John. So let's continue learning from him. There's a lot that we can actually glean out of this portion of Scripture, this letter that John wrote. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you open your Bible to 1 John, and I'm going to be looking at reading from chapter 4, verse 7, all the way through to chapter 5, verse 5. So this morning, we are going to be having a look at a fair amount of Scripture. Is that okay? Is it good to read Scripture in church? And the answer, of course, is yes. And that's what we're going to be doing today. And I've entitled today's message, Let's Talk About the Love of God. Let's talk about the love of God. What do you think of when you hear that word love? What do you think about? Do you think about that spouse of yours, that husband of your, or your wife that you just love so much? Do you think about your poodle? Fluffy, because Fluffy is so loyal to you, and you just love Fluffy to bits. Do you think about maybe that shiny new car that you've just bought that goes from 100, or from 0 to 100 in like 3.5 seconds? That one that you only bring out on the weekends, you know, that one of those. You know, I just love my car. What is it that you think of when we mention the word love? What does love mean to you? That word love. Now, John wants to tell us a little bit more about God's amazingly deep, deep love for each one of us. And not only that, he also wants to tell us what that love, that once we have that love, okay, once we've received Jesus, what that will produce in us. So he wants to tell us about love, this amazing love, and also what it actually produces in us. So let's just read through a whole lot of Scripture here this morning, starting from verse 7. He says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So we can see right here, if you know God, you have no reason not to be able to love. Is that right? That's what it means. If you have a relationship with God, there is no excuse for us not to be able to love other believers. He says, anyone who does not love does not know God. So we can be hypocrites if we're not careful in this. Why? Because God is love. And if ever we try to kind of put a definition to God, and I know that that's not a good thing to do because we can't put God in a box. But if we truly wanted to somehow define God, probably the best definition would be is that God is love. God is love. He says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. That we may live through Him. We've seen that scripture. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And folks, there needs to be a demonstration of that in our own lives. That when people see us, they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Verse 10, it says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, that's a very interesting word, and I didn't quite understand what it was. So fortunately, there's a thing called a dictionary. So I went to the dictionary and looked up that big, fancy word, long word, propitiation. And you know what it is? It's a sacrifice. So He sent His Son to be a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. But what's interesting about that word, it doesn't just mean a sacrifice. Listen to this. It means a sacrifice that turns away anger. So Jesus dying on the cross, who was the sacrifice, He, because of what He did, He has turned away, not only being a sacrifice, but He has turned away God's anger from you and from me because of the sin in our lives. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. So this is how we demonstrate that God is in us. How do we do it? That we love one another. We need to unpack these things, folks, because so often we know that we are believers, but there are certain things that are expected of us as believers in Jesus. So He says very, very clearly here that this thing of love, that we have to love one another, this is not even an option. We have to. He goes on to say, so God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. So we know that when we put up our hands and we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, what happens right there? The Bible says that you and I become a new creature. It says we become a new creation where God's Spirit now comes and lives on the inside of us. And the Bible says too that it is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Lives in you. Lives in you. Lives in me. The same Spirit. We have the Spirit of God now living on the inside of us. So we now, our objective should be to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We have His Spirit. He says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son. Why? To be the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Savior of the world. There is no other Savior of the world. None of these other names, and I can rattle off a whole lot, will be able to save you. The only way for you to receive salvation, what is salvation? Salvation means that you and I, if we are saved, that we will spend eternity in a real place called heaven, in the presence of Almighty God. That's what it is. That's what salvation is. The only way to receive salvation is through the Son. No other way. Don't think you can be a good person. Oh, but I'm such a good person. Okay? You know what you are? You're a good person. But you will not receive salvation until you make a decision to receive God's gift to mankind, which is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no other way to receive salvation. So whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. He loves us, folks. Let me stop right there. Do you feel loved by God? Ask yourself that question. Do I really feel loved by God? Because you should. You should be able to just know it and feel it. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us. By this is love perfected with us. Yes. Why? So that we can have confidence for the day of judgment. Are you confident that one day when you expire, you have an expiry date? Right? It's like that milk. You know when milk is expired? Is when you take a sip of it and you'll know it's expired. Folks, we are going to expire one day. And that day, you and I better make sure that we are ready. And he says here, he says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for that day of judgment, that we can stand before the Lord one day with confidence. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now it gets quite interesting what he starts to say. He says, there is no fear in love. So basically, you cannot be a person that is full of fear and full of love at the same time. Right? You can be full of love. If you're really full of love, you're not going to have fear. Listen to what he says. He says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, so that when we have this love of God that is evident on the inside of us, and we demonstrate in that love to others, fear will flee. It flees. It can't be there at the same time where there is this abundant love that has been manifest. He says, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So maybe we need to ask ourselves the question, you know, are we full of fear? Full of fear? We know, we've seen in the Word of God that fear is a spirit, and as believers, we can take authority over fear. Am I right? Okay, we know that. But when we ask ourselves this question, you know, do I have fear? Are there certain areas of my life where I just feel fearful? The solution is that this love that God has actually given us, are we walking in that love? Because if we are filled with that love, I can say right now, according to the Word, that fear is not going to be there. Does that make sense? Folks, we need to see it as it is. And there's certain areas of our lives we might seem to be a little bit fearful. We need to start to demonstrate God's love in that particular area, because he wants us to be free. He says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, listen to this. How many times do you hear a person say, oh, I just love God? Huh? If anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, in other words, another Christian, the Word says that person's a liar. He's a liar. You can't say that you love God and then go out and actually hate somebody who's been created in God's image. And each one of us have been created in his image. Especially as believers, we now have God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, we see other believers, we can see them, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Isn't that interesting? Right? So he kind of takes it down to our level in terms of what we can see and what we can't see, what's in the spiritual realm. And then he says, and this commandment we have from him. So now this is a commandment. A commandment is not a suggestion. This is an instruction from God. Do you remember a while back, was it last year sometime, I actually went through the commands and the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to go back to, you can, you know, go back to that message again and just remind ourselves of those commands as believers. And there were more than 50, I remember sharing here. So he says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And he's adamant with this. This thing of us being believers, a manifestation of this is you and I being able to demonstrate love towards other believers. And I was just thinking about this. Isn't it quite interesting? Because his great command, the great commandment, is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. This is what God says to us. Now, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, or everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So we will love others who are believers in Jesus. You cannot love, not love your brother. This is a command. This is an instruction. By this we know that we love the children of God. How do we know that? It's that when we love his people, we love God's people. This is a demonstration of you and I being believers. So he says, but this we know, that when we love the children of God, how is it? We love God. Now he gives us something else. He says that we love God and we obey his commandments. So there's two things here. We need to be those that love people, believers, if we are believers. That's one demonstration of it. And another one is that we are obedient and we obey his commands. It's no good, folks, us saying, yeah, I'm a Christian and I just love God, and we don't do anything he tells us to do. That's hypocrisy. That really is hypocrisy. For this is the love of God. What is it? That we keep his commandments. Like I said, don't say that you love God and you're not prepared to do what he's telling you to do. We need to be obedient to that. And his commandments are not burdensome. It's not like a heavy weight that we walk around with these, oh, gee, I'm just so heavy being a Christian. You know, I've got this heavy weight on my shoulders. It's not like that at all. For everyone who has been of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, he says, that has overcome the world. Do you know what the victory is? It tells us. What does it say? Our faith. Our faith. Folks, we need to be those that walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. How do we get faith? The Bible tells us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to be committed to getting into the Word of God so that our faith levels can get, you know, rise and get higher and higher and higher. Walking by faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Right. So we've read all of that. Was that interesting? I think it was. Okay. We need to embrace this thing of love. So what we see here in this portion of Scripture that I've just read to us is that the Scripture, first of all, describes God's love for us. Okay. And he really loves us. He really, really loves us, that he gave his only begotten Son because of this love. And it also tells us how we are able to receive this love. But then it also tells us what this love will produce on the inside of us. So let's just have a look at some of this. So the first thing that we can see is that God's love for us is sacrificial. It's a sacrificial kind of love. In verse 9 he says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, or through me. I think we can ask ourselves a question. Do we demonstrate Jesus well out there? Right? If someone looks at you, that you work with or you come into contact with, do they really say, man, you know, if Jesus, I've heard about Jesus, but he's just like you, what I know about Jesus. Do we really demonstrate that? This is what is expected of us. Jesus said in John 3:16, the words of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God didn't have other sons. Because of his love, this amazing love that he has for us, he gave his only begotten Son, and he sent Jesus, who was a willing sacrifice. Jesus said, Father, I'll go. I'll go. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So what did Jesus do? You know, Jesus, it must have been so, I mean, he was with the Father, he's with the Father in heaven. He's enjoying his time in the presence of Almighty God. And he said, Dad, Father God, Father, I will go to planet Earth. Amidst all of that sin, I will go down there. And he did. He came to planet Earth. And he gave himself to a brutal death. I don't know if we've ever checked a death, you know, what Jesus actually went through. But he came to planet Earth as a sacrifice. And they were after him, right? Because he was exposing the hypocrites, the scribes, and the Pharisees. And he would just speak out, you know, as it was. Told them what they were. You brood of vipers. Imagine telling the religious leaders, all the, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs. You look nice on the outside, but you stink on the inside. I suppose they got a little bit aggro after a while. And when Jesus, you remember, they first of all, they started punching him. It says, the Bible says they punched him. Then they grabbed his beard and they pulled his beard out. Right? They spat on him. The Bible tells us very clearly, they spat on him. Then they took him and they lashed him. This is for your sin and my sin that he decided to take all of this upon himself. He didn't have to. They lashed him with a cat of nine tails. The Bible says like little bits of lead or bones that were tied on the end and ripped the flesh off his body. They then nailed him to the cross and you can go back to the Old Testament and when he looked down, he could actually see his ribs. His ribs, you know, his bones. He could see his bones as they nailed him, as they placed that crown of thorns upon him. Research shows that those thorns, if they push into your skin, they would make your face swell up like this. Jesus couldn't breathe on that cross. You start to lose your breath. That's part of the horrible way of dying on the cross, crucifixion. And eventually, the Bible talks about it, how his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth. And eventually, as he was trying to get his breath for 3 hours on there, eventually he passed on. He chose, folks, chose to do that for you and for me. Why? As a sacrifice because of his amazing love for us. His deep love for you and for me. And sometimes, you know, I ponder that and to be honest, sometimes I just can't fully grasp it. And maybe it's the same with some of us. Just to be able to get our head around that decision that he made. He sacrificed himself for us. And it was a love, amazing love, that is undeserved. We don't deserve it. We really don't deserve that. Verse 10, he says, in this is love. Not that we love God. We didn't even love God. And yet he did this for us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, for his love for us, this amazing love that we see in the Word of God, is not now some favor that he's doing us because, you know, we've done him a favor. He just loved us first, the Bible says. It was not where he's now doing something for us, you know, because, well, he just kind of wants to make it even and do something really nice for us in return. He just loved us, right? And when we were sinners, you know that before you got born again, the Bible says that you and I were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. And yet, when we were still enemies, he gave himself to die on that cross for us. I'll read it to you from Romans 5 verse 10. It says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Still rejecting him. You know what you were like before you got born again. And even in that place, Jesus said, I'll die for you. Incredibly, just that's just amazing love. And of course, this is a love that we don't deserve. It's undeserving of us. And again, I think this is something that we somehow need to meditate on. I think we need to get our head around this. You know, what's interesting, because we may be completely unworthy of God's love, which is the case, but that doesn't make us worthless. Many people think that they're unworthy and therefore they are worthless. And of course, we have an enemy that will come in like a storm and grab hold of that thing and really rub it in, you know. We are worth so much. Don't ever believe that lie from the pit of hell, that you are worthless. In fact, the Bible says that you and I were created in his image. We've been created in his image. Okay? And no matter what, he still loves you. No matter what you do, that horrible thing that you've done in your life, right? That thing. You might think, you know, how can God love us? He might not have loved what you did, in other words, the action, but he loves you so much. So So that thing, all we do with that horrible thing that you know that he's not pleased about, we just take it to him and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. So we stand sinless once we've taken it to him. But he wants us to bring it to him. Do you remember the parable of the prodigal son? Very interesting story, that parable. And this is really a demonstration from God showing us how much he really loves us. And he really does love us. We know the story. It was a man's son comes to his father and he asks for his inheritance. And of course, an inheritance is normally something you get once your parents have passed on. So he comes and he wants his inheritance. And he was basically coming to his father and he was saying, you know what, Dad? You know, I don't know how to say this, but I wish you were dead. I really wish you were dead, you know. First of all, that I don't need you, right? But I do want the money. I do want the money. I want the inheritance. Rejected. The father was rejected like there, like our heavenly father is rejected. This father was rejected. And of course, the son now goes off. He goes off and he goes to a foreign country. He goes to this foreign country and he takes his money, and we know what he spends it on wine, woman, and song. The Bible talks about it, right? Lots of women, and he's got lots of friends. You can imagine somebody with a lot of money, and he didn't know how to handle it. He was making sure that he was enjoying his life, and of course, it wasn't long before he didn't have any money left. And it wasn't long then before he didn't have any friends either. And the Bible says he found himself, see the picture, this Jewish boy, is now feeding pods to pigs. Jewish people and pigs, they don't really go well together. Okay. So this Jewish boy is now feeding his pods to these pigs. Not only is he feeding them, but he's looking at them and saying, oh, gee, I would really like this, you know, this food. I'd like to eat this. And then he came to his senses. He came to his senses and he came back to his father, but he came back with a repentant heart, a real repentant heart. And this is what the Lord wants from us, to just come back to him. If we've gone away, come back. If we've never known him, come. I'll just pick it up in the story over here. You know, like I say, often this is the way we treat our heavenly father. And when we come back, or when we come for the first time, do you know our father is standing there with arms wide open, ready to receive us, because he wants us. We are his children. Listen, verse 21 in Luke 15, it says, and the son said to him, so the son now comes back to the father. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But check out what the father does over here, right? How the father responds. He doesn't even talk to the son. Listen what he says. But the father said to his servants. So the son is talking to the father. The father is so excited. He's talking to his servants and he says, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and let us celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's now found. The son recognized his unworthiness right there. But the father, right there, he demonstrates and he establishes his worth right there. Just like our heavenly father, as we respond. Folks, God the Father is determined to establish your worth. God made you worthy and he paid the highest price that he could ever pay. And that was the shed blood of his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said shed blood because we know that wasn't an accident. He had decided to do that. Pay the highest price, the blood of his son on the cross. And it's amazing, you know, when you look at that, that's the kind of love that he has for you. If you were the only person on that planet, on this planet, that's what God would have done for you because of this love that he has. It's a sacrificial love. It's an undeserved love. So then the question is, you know, how do we actually experience this love? How do we experience it? And John says that when we receive God's son. In other words, when we got born again, we receive God's love. So it's at that point. Why? Because God is love. And now we've received God living on the inside of us. It's at that point. I'll read it. Verse 13, it says, we know that we live in him and that he lives in us because he has given us his spirit. We have seen and testified to the fact that the Father sent his son as the savior of the world. God lives in those who declare that Jesus is the Son of God. If you have declared that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in you. And they live in God. They live in God. We know and believe that God loves us. God is love. Those who live in God's love live in God, and God lives in them. Jesus says these words in Revelation. Very interesting. In chapter 3, verse 20, he says, behold, and he's talking to us today. Right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Okay? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, we've got a choice right there. We either open the door and receive God's gift to mankind, or we just keep the door closed and reject God's gift to mankind. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you make a decision right there. I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. So we have seen here that John has actually told us how to receive and experience God's love. But he also now tells us what God's love produces in us. And I just want to spend just a little bit of time looking at that. God's love for us, this amazing, incredible love that he has for us, produces in us a love for other believers. A love for other believers. And folks, this has to be evident, right? Let's see it. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you do not love, you don't know God. Jump forward to verse 11. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Jump a bit further. Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar, he says. He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We need to look at our own lives and our own hearts and make sure that our lives tie up with what the word is actually saying here, folks. Are we okay? Are you guys out there? Should I just say no? Okay. But this is it. This is the gospel message that we're sharing here. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about receiving salvation. All right? But there has to be a change that takes place in us. And you remember, John, he's refuting some of those false teachers. We spoke a little bit about this last week. Those false teachers that were coming and leading people astray and preaching wacky doctrine. And those false teachers, they actually claim to know God. They also claim maybe that they've even seen God. Right? They probably also claimed that they were not leading God's people astray. But they were. And John is telling them that they do not love the people. He's telling them and he's telling us that we must love, love, love. It has to be there. And if they had loved them, John said to those false teachers, if you love those people, you would not be leading them astray. You would not be leading them away from having a deep relationship with God. So the question is, how is your love for other people? Ask yourself that question. Okay? Please, when you ask yourself that question, don't blush now, right? Just ask yourself that question. How is my love for other people? Do I demonstrate love towards other people? Because it's a very important question. Why? Because it is directly linked to your love for God. How much do you love God? It's linked to how you're responding to His command in terms of loving people. You know, it's very interesting. We talk about fear and love. You know that fear and love are opposites. Fear and love. It's like day and night. Could you imagine if we took day and we took night and we put them together? What would we have? You can't have day and night together. It's not going to happen. I can tell you now, you can't have fear and love together as well. You can't be in absolute love, right, and have this amazing amount of fear. And you can't be totally fearful and be operating in love. Those two don't go together. They're opposites. Fear and faith, the same. You can't be in faith, right? Have incredible faith, you know, faith that moves mountains, if you are so intimidated and so full of fear. Fear and faith don't go together. They're opposites. Faith and love, they go together, right? Operating in faith, demonstrating the love of God. Finally, just the last thing that John has to say to us before we finish off here. God's love for us produces obedience to His commands. God's love in us produces obedience to His instructions, God's instructions to us. He says in chapter 5, verse 2, He says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments." You can see the link there. Loving people and obedience. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. If you want to demonstrate that you love God, one of the ways is to just do what He tells you. We need to be doers of the word, you know, not just hearers. So as God's love starts to work in us, He wants us to reach out and love other people. We've just seen this all right through Scripture here. And the other thing is that this love that's on the inside of us will assist us in keeping His commandments. Be honest with yourself. Do you keep His commandments? Are we saying that we love God, but Lord, you know, I really love You, okay, but I don't want to keep Your commandments. So just now in closing, and a question. Are you experiencing the love of God? Are you really experiencing? How will you know if you are experiencing God's love? Okay, what are the things that we've seen in the Word this morning? The first one, that we will have love for other people, other believers. We'll have love for them if we are experiencing the love of God. We will also have great confidence in our faith. Okay, we will be men and women of faith as well. And the third thing is that we will be obedient to His commands. So we just need to, you know, experience all of this. Folks, we need to just allow the Holy Spirit, God in us, to guide us and lead us. He has an amazing plan for us. The Bible says that God has amazing plans for us. But we need to be those that are able to hear the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. It says, final verse in chapter 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." I'll say it again. The love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. So we need to just make a decision. Make a decision. Just to choose to go out there and be obedient to Him. Because as we are obedient to Him, we are demonstrating and we're showing God that we love Him. This is what John is saying to us. We know what the Word of God says, and we actually do it. So, Father, we just say thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, there is so much in Your Word about love, but as we read through this 1 John, this portion of Scripture, that we're able to unpack this and just get a better understanding of, first of all, Your amazing love for us, and also how to receive that love, and also what this love, how it will impact on our lives and how we are able to demonstrate it and what it will produce in our lives. So Lord, we just say thank You that as we hear a message like this, Lord, that we ponder these things. Can we work through these things? We ask you, Lord, to reveal more and more of this so that we can walk in the way that is true. We ask that, Father, just with your heads bowed, is there anybody here this morning? Again, you're not sure about your eternity. You're not sure whether you're going to go to heaven. That's you. Put up your hand. I want to take you. Know that what our destiny is. So, Father, again, we say thank you for this morning and Lord, that you're able to minister to us, that we are those that not only hear your word, but that we go out.